Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download. Our phone guest today is Darren Julian, CEO of Julian's Auctions, Beverly Hills. Hey, Darren.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, that was quite an auction you had, the Music Icons, November 21st. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely, yeah. It was one of the best auctions we've ever had, actually.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Sure, did you get more publicity in this auction than any other auction?
You know, we get almost all of our auctions are highly publicized, but because of the global reach that Michael Jackson has, I have to say it was probably one of the, if not the most publicized auction, because we had interest, you know, from Asia, you know, Europe, South America, I mean, all over the world. So, you know, our server, fortunately, we got a dedicated server for the auction. Otherwise, our old server would have crashed.
Is that right? Well, what type of phone response? I mean, never mind the internet. Were there a lot of people calling as well?
Yeah, we had, you know, phone bidders. We had about 15 phone bidders at the event where we would call the individual clients, but right around 200 people that actually were phone bidding on the various lots throughout the day. Mm. So, you know, typically, like, if I'm phone bidding, I'll have, you know, maybe 20 to 30 people that I'll phone bid with myself, but so it was really, you know, it stretched all our resources for technically, for people, you know, everybody involved. It was just such a massive event.
Now, was there a high attendance as well, so mostly like internet and things like that?
Well, we had 600 people at the auction.
Wow.
And then we had thousands of people online bidding, and then, you know, I would say 60,000-70,000 people just watching.
Wow. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Well, the news sure spread fast about the glove. We'll get into that later. How did Steve and Tyler's donated items? Well, actually, what did he donate that to, his items to?
All the items that he donated went to Music Cares, which is to help recovering artists from drug addiction. You know, basically what he did was, it wasn't his best costumes from his career, but it's the first time that he's ever let go of something. So there are items, you know, some items were photographed, but pretty much items out of his closet. but, you know, they sold anywhere from, you know, $100 to $2,000. So it was a very good auction for the charity.
Well, I saw he actually really, it wasn't a joke, he actually did throw in his boxer shorts, huh?
He did. He called them his skivvies, and we actually told him we didn't want to sell them, and he kind of talked us into it. He said, listen, he goes, my fans will love that stuff. So, you know, usually underwear is not something that we typically auction, but, you know, if the celebrity calls us personally and pleads their case, we, you know, it's hard to say no.
I can understand that. So let's go through the highlights from sort of like the beginning, if we can, through, like, for instance, I see you had a Ron Wood signed Gibson Les Paul. That was a pretty nice guitar.
Yeah, we had several, actually, guitars that were in the auction, you know, that were donated with 100% of the proceeds going to Music Cares. The Ron Wood piece, I don't remember off the top of my head. It was a signed Les Paul. It's just signed by him. We sold for $6,875. Mm. You know, Ron Wood not only is a musician, but he's become a very well-known artist. So anything of his does very well.
I didn't know that. Now, these prices that we're going to be throwing out today, that includes the buyer's premium. Is that right?
That is correct, which is the standard. It's the auction house commission.
Right, right. And then I saw you had, well, if you want to talk quickly about the guitars in general, I saw they went, some of them went very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is an auction, and most of our items, typically we offer at no reserve. So, you know, like any other auction, you know, some items went a little bit under what they'd normally bring, like the Paul McCartney signed Hofner bass. That's a piece normally would sell between $10,000 and $20,000, and I believe it brought around $6,000-$7,000. But then other guitars, you know, like a Van Halen. I'm just looking them up here as I go.
Yep, I see that one now.
Van Halen owned and played guitar. No photographs of him playing it. Sold for $18,750, which is a respectable price because there's a lot of Van Halen guitars around. David Bowie's custom Steinberger guitar. It was just played in one performance. It's $12,500, which was a respectable price for that guitar. The guitar is not in working condition, which we described that in the catalog. A Tom Petty played and signed guitar. Again, no photographs of him playing it, but it came from somebody that within the Tom Petty camp, $20,000.
Wow.
So, you know, in a Bo Diddley concert-played guitar, which is the most one of his guitars I've ever sold for, we sold for $60,000. The highest price up to that point was a guitar sold by Christie's, sold for right around $19,000. So, you know, overall, it was a very strong auction. You know, obviously the Michael Jackson stuff was the highlight, but overall, the entire auction was very strong.
Now, I saw, in general, the Bo Diddley items did very, very well.
Yes, and see, this is the first time that his estate has ever released anything, and Bo Diddley held on to almost everything. He didn't give away a lot of items, didn't let a lot of items get out there. So they were very pleasantly surprised because we gave very conservative auction estimates.
I think that always works in the favor of the consigner to do that. And I was looking at item number 158. It says original Woodstock Yasgur's Dairy Barn sign.
Yep.
Went for $10,000. Give me a little history on that.
That's actually a piece I sold privately in 2002. A client had, the person that got it from the barn, wanted to sell it, and he, you know, wanted to get, you know, like $1,000 for it at the time, and I had privately sold it for right around $3,000, so he was very happy about that. And then the person that I sold it to in 2002 wanted to consign it to this auction, so we put it in, and it sold for $10,000, which is a great price for the piece, but it's also a very historical piece. I mean, we didn't have the time to find photographs of it on the barn, but I'm sure that that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cool item. So also I saw you had a Beatles signed tour souvenir book that sold for $10,000.
Yeah, anything Beatles does very well. And,
yes.
You know, the Beatles market has actually, you know, it's been on the rise ever since the collectibles of memorabilia started. But, you know, that's a piece several years ago. We just sold for around $6,000, but, you know, we sold it for $10,000. But anything Beatles does well, especially, you know, if it comes from the letter from Frank Chiazzo or the history of provenance is very solid.
Now, you had a Johnny Cash guitar, going back to guitars, that went for almost $40,000.
Yes, and that's a guitar that we sold. We did the estate auction for the Johnny Cash estate. I believe it was in 2003. We did it with Sotheby's. And that was a guitar that we had sold at the time just under $30,000. So this auction, it sold you know, for about $10,000 more. So, you know, again, it's no photographs of him playing it, but because it came out of the estate auction of Johnny Cash, that's, you know, obviously solid provenance. So, you know, it's just nice to see pieces like that continue to increase in value.
Do you think the movie Walk the Line helped increase popularity for Johnny?
Yeah, it does, for sure, because, you know, any time that a celebrity or their estate's out there doing things and getting publicity, you increase the fan base or you keep their memory alive, and definitely think that things like that help the value of these celebrities.
Now, let's see. The Elvis Presley ruby ring, he was known to have worn that ring one time?
Yeah. Now, then that was a piece that we were a little bit disappointed with in the value because it's a, you know, if there was a photograph of Elvis Presley wearing it where you could see clearly and that was the ring, that's a piece that would have brought $40,000 to $100,000. But it came with a letter from his uncle, Vester Presley, and, you know, without the photo ID documentation, you know, it still should have sold for $20,000, $30,000, but, you know, whoever bought that got a good deal.
Right. So there's both sides at every auction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a sign of a healthy auction because, you know, you see sometimes these auction houses just promote how everything sold through the roof. Well, you know, typically that doesn't happen. There's things that people do fall asleep at the wheel or they forget to bid. And, you know, it's a sign of a healthy auction, especially on these multi-consignor auctions, that some items do go too cheap because, you know, you don't want the auction house or, you know, it's important to consign stuff to a reputable auction house because sometimes you never know if the prices are inflated or, you know, if they've really achieved those amounts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also keeps people going to auctions. You know, if everything went through the roof, you know, eventually, you know, I was at an auction one time where there was a guy in the front row and he decided he was going to buy everything in the auction. And he killed that auction, you know, so because prices were just kept going higher and higher. So, I mean, I've seen that happen too. So a bargain to be at an auction just keeps people going. That's
exactly right. And, you know, we've got, you know, there's things that sold in the sale that people forgot to bid in the auction. Like, give you an example, the Charlie Chaplin painting that Michael did when he was 9 years old, I believe we sold it for right around $23,000, $24,000. We had a client, went to Dubai, is the client that bought it. We had somebody in Asia, forgot to bid on it. It's a piece they really wanted. They've now offered $50,000 to buy it from the winning bidder.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and the winning bidder doesn't want to sell it because it's a piece they really wanted, but it just, stuff like that's healthy because, you know, it shows people that you buy these things and you can make a profit. Just it's good to help continue to stimulate, you know, people investing in collectibles like this.
Sure, sure. Okay, so now since we hit on the Michael Jackson items, let's go ahead and talk about that was toward the end of the sale. Is that right?
We intentionally did that. We did the Bo Diddley first, and then, you know, the estate right before the Michael Jackson. And, you know, we had huge interest from all over the world because we were hired by Michael Jackson when he was alive to conduct the auction of Neverland, and then he changed his mind. So over the course of several months when we publicized it, we amassed hundreds of thousands of interested bidders. So these were people that were hungry to buy Michael Jackson. And so we only had around 80 items in the auction. But as you can see, the interest was phenomenal. And the majority of the 600 people in the room were there to bid on Michael Jackson.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. I wouldn't doubt that at all. And just for anyone that didn't hear the pre-auction podcast that you and I did together, why don't you explain to him how you toured the items?
Yeah, well, we toured the highlights to various cities. We first went to the Museo in South America, Santiago, Chile. Did an exhibition there for about 2 weeks. Then we went to Ireland, Dublin, Ireland, the Museum of Style Icons. Did an exhibition there for a couple weeks. And because we only had a limited time, we only went for 4 days, did an exhibition in Tokyo, Japan. And, you know, all the places we went to, there were, you know, somewhere between 20 and 50,000 people that showed up. What was interesting, and just to show you how much he's loved in Asia especially, is that the 4 days we had it, we had 25,000 people come through, and the lines were 3 to 5 hours long just to get into the exhibition.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, and a lot of those people were there at the auction. They actually flew to the auction thinking they were going to get a piece of Michael Jackson, but in the end, obviously, most of them were disappointed because the prices went way higher than what our estimates were.
Oh, I see that. Numbers over and over and over again. So his tour jacket, while he was, it was a world tour jacket, bad. That went for $270,000 for the jacket.
Yes, and we estimated $8,000 to $10,000, and the person that bought it 20 years ago, Michael donated it to a charity auction that Sotheby's conducted in New York. The gentleman, he's a hairdresser, and he was a Michael Jackson fan. He paid $4,000 for it. His wife almost divorced him over it. It was the biggest purchase he ever made. And so, you know, but he valued the item for 20 years. And, you know, now, you know, his wife, they laugh about it, but he looks like a hero because, you know, what an investment. You pay $4,000 for something and 20 years later sell it for $270,000.
I mean, not bad.
It's not bad at all. And, you know, he bought some of the other items he bought in the same sale, and altogether his items sold for right around $350,000. So
wow.
He did very well.
Wow, that's a great story. And he almost got divorced over it.
Yeah, that's pretty 20 good. Years ago, that's right.
Now, I saw there was a handwritten letter from Michael Jackson. That went for $32,000. That's got to be a record by far for anything he ever wrote.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this was a three-page letter that he wrote, all in hand. It was relating to the film Moonwalker. And, you know, the person that he wrote it to was the person that consigned it to us. And, you know, we estimated it very conservatively. I think it was around 8 to 12 or 1 to 2,000. And the client, I told him, I said, I don't see it going much above 6,000. And he was thrilled to death that we said that, you know, that it could reach 6,000. So for it to sell over $30,000 obviously makes his Christmas.
Yeah, I'll say. Were there any consigners in the watching the auction there?
Oh, yeah, quite a few of them. I mean, the consigner that owned the bad jacket, I mean, he was in tears. He was crying. He and his wife both were crying.
Oh,
because,
wow.
You know, they live very modestly. I think they told me they make around $30,000 to $40,000 a year. They own a beauty parlor in upstate New York. And this was, you know, this is a windfall for them. So it's going to help in their retirement. And, you know, you love to hear stories like that. It's somebody that never anticipated that would come into money like that. So, you know, it's just a great story all the way around.
Yep, perfect timing. Were there any celebrities in attendance? That usually doesn't happen, does it?
No, a lot of times, well, we have had celebrities at our auctions, but typically the high-profile celebrities registered a phone bid, and we did have quite a few high-profile celebrities on the phones.
Uh-huh, interesting. Now, let's talk about the glove. Now, the star of the show, first of all, are you able to identify the purchaser of that glove?
Yes, because with their permission, it was bought by Point 16 Casino in Macau. It's opening this spring, and they are using this as a featured key in their lobby to attract people to come, you know, come to the casino, which is very smart. Not to mention, you know, it's smart that they bought it for that reason. But they've got their name plastered all over the world for buying the glove. So it was a marketing, I think, decision for them to buy it, and it's something that's just going to continue to, you know, draw attention to them, which the investment of $420,000 that they made in the glove, you know, it seems like a lot, but in the end, I think it will be minimal because of all the attention and publicity that they're getting out of it.
Now, what's the gentleman's name from the Commodores that Michael gave that to?
Yeah, it was Walter Orange.
Walter.
He was, Michael gave it to him backstage at the Motown 25 performance.
Now, he didn't happen to be there.
No, he didn't. He was actually touring with the Commodores.
I see.
You know, he heard about it in the news. I didn't have a chance to call him, but he saw it on CNN.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how much coverage was. I mean, I knew instantly when that glove had sold. Like, all I did was type in Michael Jackson glove in Google, and it came up in a bunch of sites, you know, right away. So
it was phenomenal. I mean, just the press all the way around, and you know, for an item like that to sell for $500,000, almost $500,000, is pretty remarkable. And the client would have spent a lot more, and we knew that, but, you know, it's only, you know, that's why underbidders are important.
Sure.
But we had somebody else that was, you know, willing to go up to, you know, 300-some thousand, but they stopped, and you know, so he feels he got a bargain, which we're happy because it's still a great price for a glove.
I guess so. Where did the bidding start at?
The bidding on that piece started right around 10,000, but within 30 seconds, it was up to $120,000.
Now, was there any online bidding that was jumping in on that as well?
There was, but it was only up to about $200,000. We had a very good client that we knew that was bidding online on it, so we monitored that very closely.
Yeah, you have to.
Sure, somebody wasn't bidding, you know, erroneously. But so up to $200,000, then the gentleman in the room, and then there was somebody on the phone that was the underbidder.
So, I see. So, but the gentleman was in the room that was bidding for the.
Yes. He flew over from Hong Kong because he did not want any chance to miss
a
bid on it.
Yeah, there's always a chance of missing a phone bid, something can go wrong, or an absentee bid or anything like that. Anything can happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. So be there. That's the number one thing. So let's go through a couple of other things that sold. I mean, the secondary thing was the performance costume, right?
Yeah, the performance costume from, well, the bad jacket, obviously, for $270,000, yeah, that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a performance costume that he wore at the Apollo Theater in, I believe, 2003, sold for $209,000.
And then there was another glove that did pretty well, actually.
Another glove, and believe it or not, though, this is a glove, we knew the history of it. The gentleman that got it from Michael Jackson put it on eBay, sold it for $6,000 in August.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's no photographs of him wearing it, so the person that bought it on eBay consigned it to us, and we knew, you know, it was a Bill Witten. We had Bill Witten's people verify it and the Jackson camp. But the guy that bought it consigned it and sold it for $109,000. So, cool. You know, it just goes to show you, you know, high-end items you don't put on eBay, you know, and you do your research. But that was an opportunity that somebody saw. I mean, if I would have seen it on eBay, I would have bought it.
Right.
But, you know, eBay is a good place to buy if you know what you're looking for. You know, I've been taken by a lot of fakes on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you really have to be educated and make sure who you're buying from is a reputable seller on eBay. But, you know, there are deals if you know what you're looking for.
I've heard of so many things that have happened like that. You know, years ago when eBay first started, people were misspelling things that didn't have a spell check, and people were making huge fines. You know, so
yes.
there was a situation last year where something went through eBay where someone made $300,000 profit on it. I don't have the exact details, but it does happen.
It does, and you know what we've noticed is the big high-end clients don't go on eBay, and you actually burn
right.
a piece if you just keep offering it over and over and over. And there's a lot of
sure.
clients that, you know, they come to us and they don't like our estimate, and they say, "Well, I'm just going to put it on eBay." And I tell them, "You know what? If you do that, it won't sell, and we don't want to take it in then because you burn the piece
right.
by offering it over and over and over."
Certainly, certainly, yeah, that happens. You know, when something doesn't sell in an auction, it kind of, you know, there's always exceptions, but sometimes if people will offer something and they jump in at too high of an estimate in an auction, it doesn't sell, then good luck the next time, you know.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I think there was many, if you, throw out your website, if you would.
Sure, yeah, it's juliansauctions.com. The auction results are still on our homepage
right.
For people to see. And then we're, you know, right now we're focusing. We bought a new building here in Los Angeles. We're moving,
really?
And we're building our calendar for 2010, which would be even better than 2009.
Now I know you have the Star Trek set coming up in 2010, right?
Yes, that comes directly from the studio, and J.J. Abrams actually had, you know, worked it into the contract that we sell those items all to benefit his charity, and.
Wow.
You know, so those will be sold in our June auction at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh. So you're moving out of Beverly Hills, you're moving into L.A.?
No, we do our auctions in Beverly Hills, but our warehouse is in Los Angeles, city of Los Angeles, near Marina Del Rey. But we
mm-hmm.
keep our location, you know, we don't publish our address where we're at. But we don't have the general public that comes into our facility. But
oh, I see.
We bought a new building that we're moving into this month.
Great, great. Well, I know what moving's like. Must be very hard for an auction.
That's right.
Company to move. All right, Darren. Well, great. Thank you so much. And
my pleasure.
Yes, it was another great interview, and looking forward to see what comes up on the horizon.
Same here. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Okay,
yeah,
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Darren Julian from Julian's Auction in Beverly Hills, and this is Martin Willis in the Antique Auction Podcast. Signing off. Wait, don't go away. I want to talk to you about how you can help us out. We love doing this show. We do it for free. However, we do have some expenses, and you can help us without even realizing you're doing it. And that is, if you're going to purchase something on Amazon, why not go to our website, www.antiqueauctionpodcast.com. Up in the right-hand corner, you'll see there's an Amazon search engine. You can search for your item there, and if you purchase it, we will receive a small fee. That'll help us carry on. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. Mm-hmm.